today on the TMZ Podcast.
Welcome to the TMZ Podcast.
Coming Derek here.
Whoa, that was hot. Katie here.
And Jason.
Well, I'm excited. We've got some great stories today on tap, and let's jump right into it. We've got Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox. Rumors were a-swirling, weren't they?
They
had broken up. And the reason the rumor started swirling is because Megan Fox has not posted Machine Gun Kelly on her social media since June. I mean,
that's
an eternity given how they
Well, they're so prolific on social media. Yes. She's so prolific on social media. All of a sudden, she goes sort of radio silent with their relationship. A lot of speculation that they had gone away. These people would drink each other's blood, like on stage, right?
Yeah, I mean,
they
lick each other's faces.
Photos of each other.
Yeah,
right.
They go to award show licking each other. They're out with Travis Barker and Kourtney Kardashian.
More licking.
More licking. It's just lots of licking and no licking all of a sudden.
No, and it's August.
Tongues start wagging and say, hey, look, this couple is broken up and the proof is in the pudding because they're not posting. Well, over the weekend, Machine Gun Kelly has a concert and did a shout out to his wife, and we got the footage and we'll read into it.
I talked to my wife before I got on stage tonight, and I said, she said, when you're on stage, you're where you love to be. Don't think about anything. You don't have to prove anything to anybody. They all came to see you. So just give them the best fucking performance they've ever seen in your life.
Now, I got a couple things to say about this. Well, he's doing this with blood streaming down his face. Did you know that?
Yes,
new thing he does is smash
a bottle of
glass of champagne flute. I don't think it's cool. I think he's going to be very scarred, and he's going to regret this
over
time.
So there's different ways to read into what he said, though, because it seems to be in response to the speculation that they may be having difficulties in the relationship. I don't think that his comments about his wife, since he talks to his wife, so they're still married. But
well, they're not married.
It's the colloquial sense of my wifey.
Got it. But then
Those people don't know what a wife is
he
like.
He quotes her as saying, when you're on stage, you're where you love to be. Don't think about anything. You don't have to prove anything to anybody. There's some interpretation of that as being, well, that shows they're still together, but I don't know that it goes that far. Do you guys think so?
Well, wife is a pretty strong term of endearment. I mean, he is indicating he does this. It can be. Traditionally, it's a term of endearment.
Yeah.
I think what he does is he does these things where he like conveys a pep talk he received from his wife before going out on stage. This is not like a unique clip. It's just the most recent one. And the indication is that he's still talking to her before he goes out on stage, and therefore she's in his life as his wife.
And she's giving him pep talks of like maybe he was going through something. So she's like, look, just get out there. Focus on your performance. I mean, it sounds like they're still together based on this little clip we just heard.
No, but what do you make of you don't have to prove anything to anybody? What is that referring to? Is that just simply words that you use to pump somebody
in? Maybe he was nervous about his performance.
Yes.
He was like, oh, I don't know if I can smash myself just correctly. Just so well in the face tonight. The blood may get messed up.
It's so embarrassing when the glass doesn't break and you just hit yourself with a full champagne flute and it's not tough at all. No, I think that's it. What she does is she gives him these pep talks. She says, you're good enough. You're strong enough. And gosh darn it, people out there love
you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Look, I still think where there's smoke, there may be fire, though. I mean, we nonstop would just see them all the time. And the fact that she has not posted him, it's a little suspicious still. I know they're saying sources close to them are saying they're still together. I'm wondering, maybe they're working through something.
I don't know. This is a prelude to a breakup, right? They want to control the narrative. They don't want the internet to tell them when they broke up. Maybe they're still working on it. Maybe they get back together, but they're not going to allow it to be announced via silence on the internet. If they break up, they're going to let us know. And they're trying to indicate that we're still together, but I'm with Katie. Something's going on because it's not as hot and heavy as it was.
Well, as long as two of you are in alignment on this,
yeah,
I guess
But the story is that they have said they are still together now. We've talked about them. It burned too hot. Their relationship burned too hot. We talked about this yesterday. You can't keep that pace up. The level of passion it is going to end.
We all agree with that. The three of us sitting here certainly agree with that. But it doesn't mean you go all the way to break up, right?
You can go back into
a normal, like, you know, relationship where you don't really care for each other.
And that's what they're doing.
And that's what therapy is for, really.
So congratulations to getting to that level.
Yeah. So let's move on to a relationship that really busted.
Yeah. So Angelina Jolie is back in the news with her relationship with Brad Pitt. There's been some people in Brad Pitt's camp have come out and with some real issues with Angelina Jolie, given that she has now made public the fact that she went forward with a FOIA request, a request for documents from the FBI that related to the alleged dust-up on the private plane they had back in 2016. You remember at the time it came out, it was very public, that Angelina Jolie had accused Brad of putting hands on their son Maddox, roughing him up pretty badly. And then there was some allegations of domestic abuse. And now she's come out with this FOIA request, Eric, and there's some more detail about what she claims happened on this flight back in 2016.
Yeah, this was always a little bit murky when the issue came out. There was talk of they were on a plane with their children, Brad was drunk, and there was some physical and verbal confrontations. Well, if you read these documents that were released, which is sort of a description of the entirety, it sounds like Brad was drinking, at least according to this investigative report, and sort of storming around the plane, pacing back and forth, right, and really getting physical with Angelina.
Comes off as a bit deranged,
yes,
manic, a drunk. I mean, all these things. Not one of them in isolation, not just a drunk guy. He was clearly, the fact he's pacing back and forth on the plane,
yes,
verbally berating and then physically assaulting people, that goes to a different level.
Yes, and a lot of it is redacted, so you don't know the names that they're talking about, but you can tell from the context clues, one of the children, and I think it was speculated that it was Maddox at the time, yeah, is the oldest, stood up to Brad and said, "Hey, don't treat my mother that way," and that only escalated the conflict. And it must have been a very awkward allegations, plane ride.
Just yeah, allegations at Angelina. These are not findings by the FBI. It was in federal airspace, so the FBI, the federal authorities were there.
And to the contrary, at the end of the report, it says the parties agreed that no criminal charges should be filed.
Right.
That's what Brad really wants to focus right on is, yeah, you can read this report. It sounds nasty. But at the end, everyone agreed that there's no criminal charges here. This was a fight amongst a family at most.
I'm not sure how far that gets him, right? A lot of times spouses, especially in domestic situations, don't want to file criminal charges against their spouse. Yep. But nevertheless, he says he did nothing wrong. But now he's really going after Angelina because he says she's made this request, renewed this request, this FOIA request for documents. He says she already has, just to muddy him up.
Yeah, I mean, if she's seen these documents, the only reason for them to go public is to drag Brad's name through the mud. And right now, Brad is kind of flying high, right? Brad was in Bullet Train, which is a big movie in the box office.
Oh, he won an Oscar last year.
Won an Oscar.
Yeah, he's fully back in favor with the publishers. Totally.
She was in a total bomb. The Eternals was one of the only Marvel movies that didn't work. That was right, her last big role. So maybe she's upset and upset with seeing that he's completely fine after the marriage in terms of his career and maybe
that's what he would like everybody to believe, that this is just simply a petty attempt. Now, she, for her part, hasn't responded to his allegations, but you have to believe that she submitted this FOIA request for a reason, not just to do it, right? She must think there are documents out there that she doesn't have, something about their investigation. She was very upset, apparently, that they didn't file criminal charges, although she seems to have suggested back in the day that they shouldn't have. I don't know exactly.
I have a question for both of you. What do you think of this? So this report comes out. We seem to be in an era now where it's the backlash of sort of Me Too type allegations and things like that, where we're questioning the narrative of women. We did this obviously in a very big way in the Amber Heard Johnny Depp case, where she was totally not believed, not credible, and the jury found against her. Now Angelina has a report from the FBI, and yes, at the end it says no criminal charges are warranted, but if you read this, Brad looks bad.
Yeah,
you
know, I mean, some of these notes are, the agent's notes are crazy, that he dumped beer on her, grabbed her shoulders, hurt her elbow. I mean, these are...
And yet he and Johnny Depp are fine, if not better than ever. What do you make of this in terms of the cultural moment we're in versus the cultural moment we're in 2017 when these allegations first
surfaced? There's two things at play here. First is, how much do we like the person who's being accused? And I think both Johnny Depp and Brad Pitt, Johnny Depp during the trial and Brad Pitt more generally, are extremely liked, well-liked, and likable personalities. Unlike the Harvey Weinsteins or Bill Cosbys of the world, who we had been hearing these whispers, rumors about for years and really were not particularly well-liked people by the time that the Cosby allegations came out. He was once America's dad, but 30 years later, he wasn't, and these rumors of his treatment of women were following him, and I think his reputation had gone down. That's not the case with Johnny and Brad Pitt, but I do think we are seeing a backlash to the Me Too movement. I think we are seeing we're not just going to accept what women say on face value. We're going to hear the guy out, and if we like him enough, we're going to believe what he says.
And he's also, Brad Pitt's also been on basically like an apology tour, right? The last 6 years, because he came out and he does all of these magazine interviews, where he talks about how he's gotten sober, how he works with this men's group, how he goes and like does all this therapy. So he's basically,
I'm working on myself. Doesn't that confirm more of the things that we
does, well, it does, yes. But you see someone, kind of saying, well, I'm working on it. And so, and you don't know all the dirty, dirty details. Yeah. So you're like, oh, this is just a guy that's like trying to
get better.
And he also looks really good.
What about the reclamation of a friendship between he and Jennifer Aniston? I think that went a long way for him, right?
That helped a lot.
Because
she
is America's sweetheart.
She is. And that was held against him for a long time that he had mistreated her. And they are now friends or whatever they are.
And not just Jennifer Aniston, but he's done interviews with Gwyneth Paltrow, another ex of his. And they're both like, we love each other so much. Yeah.
Gosh, the parallels are crazy. To me, because who did Johnny Depp use in his trial? His ex-girlfriend.
Yes.
He used Kate Moss right. who actually, at a huge moment of the trial, said that Johnny Depp's actually chivalrous. He saved me from falling down the stairs. He didn't push me down the stairs. And Brad Pitt, now, I don't want to sound too cynical. I don't think he maybe, you know, restarted his friendship with Jennifer Aniston to rehabilitate his image, but these guys do have a lot of handlers. They do have a lot of publicists who say, this would be good for you. You know, Jennifer's, you know, you had a messy breakup with her and now you're facing all these allegations from Angelina. Maybe you want to talk to her.
Going back to your original point though, I mean, if the allegations against Al Franken, for example, came out today, and remember the allegations were that there was a picture of somebody, I forgot who the actress was, sleeping and he sort of mockingly, he didn't grab him. He sort of like
faked grabbed them and then someone took a picture.
And someone took a picture. And then there were some allegations that he used sort of body jokes and things like that and that sort of thing. I think Al Franken, none of that affects him anymore. He was forced out of the Senate. He was forced by his own party to give up his Senate seat. And he still harbors a grudge about that. And I don't think that happens the same way.
I don't know
if
it would happen today.
Yeah, I don't know. The read I had on that was the Democrats fearing sort of an inconsistency or hypocrisy with not treating their own like they were holding others to account, whereas Republicans didn't really have that problem. Like they'll toe the line for their own and they'll throw Al Franken under the bus. So I don't know, but you're right. It just strikes me as an interesting inflection point we're at, where there's a real difference now in how we're thinking about these issues, particularly with very big stars, Johnny Depp and Brad Pitt.
So we're talking about cancel culture. So let's segue over to Jamie Foxx, who has had a lot of thoughts about cancel culture. He was really an interesting voice, right? One of the most famous people in the world. And he has come out and there's always been questions about why his 2016 movie about two basketball fanatics, he and Jeremy Piven, never saw the light of day. And he says it all has to do with cancel culture.
I mean, look, this is fascinating because I didn't know this movie existed. Yeah. It has been shelved.
Yes.
I mean, it's called All Star Weekend. It actually sounds like a lot of fun. It's a comedy, which, Jamie Foxx does both.
Huge cast. I mean, it's got Benicio del Toro, Gerard Butler, Eva Longoria, and then Robert Downey Jr. is playing a Mexican man.
Yes. And this is fascinating, right? Because Robert Downey Jr. famously in Tropic Thunder played a black man.
One of the greatest risks that's ever been taken by movie makers and an actor, actually dressed in blackface, but it hit a home run with black and white audiences alike.
Most people say it paid off. It just paid off.
Yeah.
It was very, very funny. It's obviously not sort of mocking in the same way that you think of blackface in the 50s or something. It's a satire.
But nor was Ted Danson, when he got canceled in the 80s for dressing up where his African-American girlfriend had put him in blackface as a comedy skit. His career was almost destroyed because of it. But
Robert Downey Jr., very aware. Apparently Jamie Foxx had to convince him, because at this point of Robert Downey Jr.'s career, 2016, he's already Iron Man. He's minted. He is.
Yes.
His image
is worth hundreds of millions of dollars.
Right.
Doesn't
a lot to lose in terms of his star stature if he takes a role and whiffs, right?
Yeah.
Because he's a very big movie star. But
he was hesitant
to do it.
And he was really hesitant to do it. Jamie had to convince him and said, we've got to be able to do characters. You can do this. You killed it in Tropic Thunder. So come do this. And I guess he eventually agreed, right? So he was playing a Mexican man, and Jamie was playing a white racist cop in this film.
Yeah, which I don't quite understand. Is it sort of a white chicks type thing?
At that point, it undermines any sort of cancel culture. It is just people dressing up and playing characters in a farcical way.
So
right?
Then who's shelving it? Because this is a big movie with a big cast. This would get released in some fashion.
So Jamie Foxx accuses the studio of shelving it, saying they're not ready for the backlash from this movie, specifically pointing out the Robert Downey Jr. dressed as a Mexican character. But Jeremy Piven came out in an interview and said, this is not true. It's actually Jamie Foxx that's holding it. Now, he said this back in the day, but he said it's actually Jamie Foxx that's held this thing up because Jamie Foxx doesn't want the backlash. There's no way for us to cut that knot, but it seems...
He said Jamie Foxx is a perfectionist too, right? So he was like, he wants everything to be perfect, so that's why he's just holding on to the movie. So there's a lot of...
It's possible that the movie's such a high wire act that Jamie Foxx sees the cut of it and is like, we took big chances here. We got Robert Downey Jr. faking a Mexican accent. We've got me in whiteface. You know, does it actually work to pull it off like Tropic Thunder and get big laughs? Because if it doesn't, you flop. And, and then you get all of this criticism on top of a bad movie. This reminds me of, have you guys ever heard of The Day the Clown Cried? You know the day the clown cried?
No, what is that?
Do tell us.
This is a very famous Jerry Lewis movie where he played a clown in a Nazi concentration camp. It's a 1972 movie, and you know, he is a clown who entertains the Jewish children in the concentration camp and then is utilized by the Nazis to lead the children to the gas chambers. And he did it as he's a clown, and Jerry Lewis is a comedian, but the movie obviously has a very serious note to it, and he watched the cut and said, "This must never be seen." And I wonder if Jamie, like, and so now it's in the Library of Congress, 2024, it comes out, if you're interested in ever seeing The Day the Clown Cried.
But put that on my calendar.
I actually, about halfway through Derek's story, I'm like, why did you bring this up? And you got to the end where he killed it, and I'm actually,
I wonder if Jamie Foxx is like, is this my The Day the Clown Cried? It's a very famous thing in sort of Hollywood circles, and he might have said, this must never see the light of day. Jamie Foxx has a movie now on Netflix called Day Shift, which is a vampire movie. Like, he's flying high. He doesn't need the backlash.
Well, but just to go back to him
leading...
I actually thought it was a great reference, but he's actually now sort of going out at the forefront of this and saying, we're trying to break open the sensitive corners where people can go back to laughing again, and I think it's the same point that a lot of comedians have made, which is this
Bill
is
Maher.
Comedy. Bill Maher has made this point. Dave Chappelle has made this point more loudly than anybody. We need to go back to a place where comedians can say whatever the hell they want if they're trying to be funny. Sometimes they're going to be funny, and sometimes they're not. When they're not funny, you can criticize them for not being funny. But if they're funny, they get to say whatever they want, no limitations, period.
But this would have to hit, right? Like, if he's taking such a big risk, then it has to be funny. So if he watched it and is like, this is not hitting, then that risk is not going to have any reward.
It's actually going to work the opposite. You can't take away the risk. Cancel culture is sort of there. And if you flop hard, they will cancel you. But we are getting to a place where it's like, maybe take some calculated risk.
Right.
And maybe this wasn't worth it.
Do you think Kevin Spacey is somewhere like, I was just trying to be funny. I was just trying to be funny.
Oh, boy.
Just a funny guy.
Let's talk about
speaking of funny guys.
Go ahead.
I don't know who we're going to.
Yeah, I don't know. I see our two
Spears' ex-husband, Jason Alexander.
Back, good pick.
Yeah. Back in jail, right? Is he in jail again?
Way to lead this off, Katie.
Yeah,
well done.
I mean, he's facing some serious felony charges now. Now, this is completely unrelated to the Britney Spears saga, just so everyone knows. That was where he crashed the wedding. He served, I think, 30 days in jail. There was a 60-day sentence, but they let him out after 30 days. Well, now he's out, and Napa sheriff says, well, we got to book him because we've got a crime that we think he committed way back in 2016 where he allegedly stole a bracelet and some pricey jewelry items from someone's home that he was staying at. Completely unrelated to Britney, as I said, but it's indicative. And so now he's been charged with felonies over that. It's grand theft if the items are worth enough. This guy's life is sort of falling apart in real time. You know, the Britney stuff, he seems to want to really get back with her. That's going nowhere. It just looks like he's on tilt. I find him kind of a sad character. You know, Jason Alexander married her for 55 hours, and it broke him.
The best 55 hours of his life, and then it all went downhill after that.
It did, but it seems to have psychologically broken something in this person, right?
Yeah, you ever, it's akin to somebody who's like at their dream job, and they think they have their dream job, and then their dream job falls apart, and they never really recover from that. I mean, he had this life that I think that he still looks back on and says, if only I had been able to convince her to stay married to me for a longer period of time, I could have had a K-Fed life at the very least, right?
Yes.
One of child support payments and some modicum of wealth.
He must be so jealous of
so
K-Fed.
Jealous.
That must be his person that he like pins up in his home as the guy who got it done.
Right, and we see that in his attempt to crash her wedding to Sam Asghari, right? This is just a man who is still, and then saying to the people, I'm her husband, he's delusional, it seems, but he also is just living in his brain an alternative life of what things could have been, should have been in his mind.
Yeah, where does this story end? Like, I find the story sort of more sad than titillating. Like, where does the story end for Jason Alexander? He's now got a felony case against him. He had the trespassing case. His life is sort of careening downhill, and I think it could have a very sad, bad ending.
I think it ends in wedded bliss to Britney Spears, don't you? I mean,
you're betting on wedded bliss.
You're saying there's still a chance?
We've always been, people in the room have always
been
pessimistic about his relationship with Sam Asghari. If that doesn't go through, it's really...
He just needs a boombox to play Toxic.
Well, he tried to give her a tennis bracelet, sapphire tennis bracelet he stole, apparently.
That's true. He did take a sapphire tennis bracelet.
Realized she wouldn't take it, and then he pawned it off.
You know, the woman in Say Anything did not right for your in your eyes, right?
No, that's right. That's yeah, Peter Gabriel.
Yeah, I don't know why he would have to hold up a boombox playing her song.
Why he's playing her own song. Yeah, that doesn't work. I'm going to take it back. And I'm going to read more about it. See you guys on Friday. Bye.